Yep, and it's our first pet chat for 2025, and Dr. David Tabrett is here with us. Good morning.
G'day, Amanda.
Afternoon.
Welcome. It's great to be back.
It's nice to see you. It's been a long time.
Oh, likewise. But hope you had a good break.
Thank you. You too.
And I'm sure our listeners have got lots of questions and
sure
queries.
I'm sure they do. And we've got Ron on the line from Tamworth. Hi, Ron.
Yeah, hello. How are you?
Good, thanks.
G'day, Ron.
Nice to meet you, David, and the young lady.
Amanda.
I've just got three German Shepherds. They're all good dogs. They're good guard dogs. They take care of us and we take care of them. The only issue is they don't like vets at all, or anybody else.
Okay.
So two of them go, Millie and her daughter Bella, they don't like anyone at all. Max is not too bad once he gets to know you, but still, he doesn't like sitting on the chair in the vets and just knows what's coming up, so he's not a silly dog. So what I've been doing is I've got when I was in Cairns with them, I had a conversation with the vet up there, Steve, and he used to let me give them their injections in the car. So he'd give me some pills to quieten down a bit, and then I'd do it in the back seat of the car, and he was happy with that. He'd watch me do it.
Yep.
And I had a mobile vet when I come back down to Sydney. He'd come out, and he'd do Max and Bella himself, but with Millie, he used to let me do it as well. So, but since I've moved to Tamworth, it's been such a small area, there's no mobile vet, and they just play up too much when I take them there. They've been looked after. I take care of everything else. It's just the vaccinations.
How old are your dogs?
So Millie's seven, Max is seven. They're Bella's parents, and she's three.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Look, it's not a unfamiliar conversation that I've had with clients over the years. You know, there may be some pets who would prefer not to go to the vet, and certainly not when we're going to jab them with a needle. So, yeah, it's something we've dealt with before. I guess a couple of approaches, and you've already outlined, you know, the strategies we might have considered in the past. Mobile vet could be useful, and certainly maybe worth talking to. There's a couple of vets in that area. Find out if anyone could do a house call, whether they're actually better at home. Some pets are better some get a bit more defensive at home, so it could be variable between the three of them. But certainly ask that question.
I've talked to mobile, and there's no mobile vets, and I have talked to a couple of vets that don't do house calls.
Right.
But what they said they could do is they could give me some pills to quiet them down, but then to get the pills to quiet them down, they need me to take them in and get weighed so they know what to do.
Oh, I see.
To get the right pill doses for them. But at the moment, I look after them with collars for ticks, fleas and such, and worming tablets for the rest of the worms. The only thing is, without the vaccinations for parvo and kennel cough and distemper, that's the only worry I've got with them.
Yes.
Now,
one of the other approaches I would consider, and look, all of these things are, you know, an experiment in saying if this works, if this doesn't work. You've already tackled a few of them. One is about separating the dogs and seeing if they're going to be slightly better behaved.
I don't take all three at once, it'd be a disaster.
Yes, exactly.
But all three together, it'd just be like an atomic bomb at the vet itself.
Yes. I would actually probably, for yourself, my suggestion with this, because it is a little bit complex, would be maybe even to book a consult for you to go in and talk to the vets.
Yeah, I will.
Sit down with them and just say, okay, here's the scenarios. Here's the things we've tried in the past. What can we do? How can we get this problem solved? And I think if you're able to sit down and have that conversation, you should be able to come up to a solution. There are a number of medications, as you've already mentioned, that can help dogs be a little bit more calm in an environment like a vet hospital. And in those circumstances, there's differences in some of those medications. So some may be more appropriate than others. And, you know, the vet may be able to advise you on that. As far as weighing them is concerned, I'm sure if you've had that conversation and you can outline the problem, you know, you might be able to come to an agreement on what their weights are. The other thing to just remember is that separate to kennel cough, but the other vaccinations is you can get a 3-year vaccination schedule so that you're not having to...
go every year.
Yeah. I mean, they still need to have a checkup of sorts, but again, that's going to be a little bit more difficult. But in terms of the vaccination, so I would probably book that consult just for yourself.
Yep.
To go and have a chat. And if I had a client came in and talked to me and said, okay, we've got 15, 20 minutes, let's sit down, talk it through. Here are the problems. Here are the things we've already tried. What can we do next? Because ultimately, you know, you don't want them to get ill from an infectious disease. And, you know, that's the best prevention that they can have. Not all the diseases that we vaccinate for are animal-to-animal transfers. So keeping them away from other animals, you can actually walk parvovirus into your household from your shoes.
Yeah.
So we still need to make sure they have some immunity. And particularly as the two older dogs start to get a little bit older, they, you know, their immunity needs to be maintained. So, yeah, I'd go and have a chat with the vet. And I'm sure you'll come up with a solution that works for everybody.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you very much.
No worries. Thanks, Ron. All the best with it. Hi, Karen.
Hello, how are you going?
Good, thank you. You've got two guinea pigs.
Yes, two male guinea pigs.
And you not want to know how to clean them properly.
Yeah, because someone said you got to clean the back areas or something.
Yeah, they can make a little bit of a mess, can't they? How long have you had the guinea pigs for, Karen?
I've had the eldest one for about 2 months.
Yep.
And younger one about a month.
Okay, no problem. So, Amanda, you know, guinea pigs are considered a precocious animal.
They are.
Right, yeah. Which doesn't mean that they sit in a... you know, in a shopping centre and tell everybody what to do, or that's probably the worst example. But precocious means is that they can actually fend for themselves pretty well from a very young age. So when we say 2 months, they kind of look pretty reasonable size, don't they, Karen?
Yeah, well, the eldest one I got is 10 and a half months old.
Yes.
And he's about a kilo. He's a bigger one.
Wow.
And my little fluffy one is like about 900 grams or something.
Yes, yeah. They grow very quickly. And they can, as you know, they can make quite a mess. So, and it's really, really important to make sure that you maintain a clean and hygienic environment for them. So we need to, you know,
fresh hay or straw.
Now, importantly also, just so we're aware, is they do need vitamin C in their diet. So leafy green veggies, and sometimes we even supplement them with vitamin C because like humans and primates and Dalmatian dogs, they do not create their own vitamin C internally, which all other species do. And so we need to supplement them. Otherwise, they develop scurvy.
I was going to say, do they get scurvy? Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
There is vitamin C in the pellets that I give them.
There you go. Yep. So just make sure those pellets
are... They get veggies all the time.
Vitamin C can deteriorate in food. Yeah. So, you know, just observe.
I give them a little bit of orange and that as well.
There you go. You're all over that part of it. So how do we get them cleaned up? Now, guinea pigs, you can actually give them a bath.
Yeah, I gave them a bath yesterday, and I noticed they got that little pocket.
Oh, around the back end?
Yeah.
Yeah. So probably just like our dogs and so on, we don't really bath cats, do we? But just got to make sure they're clean all over. We do want to be very careful, though, with guinea pigs can stress quite easily. So, you know, you've got to make sure that when we're handling them, that they're used to being handled.
Yeah.
We don't want to have the water for their bath to be too hot or too cold. And just gentle so that, you know, we're not going to put them under any sort of pressure. But it does take a little bit of time. What have you used to shampoo or wash them with?
I got the guinea pig stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I bought the really good stuff. And they're really good to be handled.
Oh, great.
They always want cuddles and everything, but yeah, I'm just worried about that pocket near there.
Yeah, I would. They often do have some folds there that it might be what you're referring to.
There's a build up.
Yeah, you can use a cotton bud to gently wipe those out. I wouldn't be going too, what's the word, like fastidious. I wouldn't want to go too fastidious because what will happen is the normal layers of oils and liquid on their skin, the water and the liquid and the skin cells actually form a barrier against parasites and infection. So if by shampooing and or excessively rubbing those areas, you're going to strip a lot of that away. So a gentle clean, but not too deep, not too fastidious.
Yeah, that's all I've been doing. So I can see little bits of hay stuck in that bit.
Oh, well, we don't want hay. We're going to take the hay out. Yeah. And that's another thing where, as we said at the start, coming down and making sure you're cleaning. Once you've done their clean, make sure you then clean the enclosure thoroughly.
Yeah. Well, they've got a big enclosure and it gets cleaned every second day.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
I think you've got everything under control. I think
spoiled guinea pigs.
Oh, well, I would say well cared for, Amanda.
Oh,
I think Karen's doing a really good job. She's got all the right things in place to keep them healthy. And, look, I think you're doing okay. You can get in there with a cotton bud to clean, but just don't go overboard.
Yeah.
All the best.
No, I wouldn't do that.
All right. Sounds great. Yeah. Good on you.
Good luck with that, Karen. Thanks for the call. This is Pet Chat on 2NURFM, and we have got Mark from Tea Gardens on the line. Hi, Mark.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, good. Thank you.
Very good.
You've got a silky terrier.
Yes, yes.
And it's pining for its master.
Yes. My husband just passed away, and it's our daughter's dog.
Oh, I see.
And he's staying with us at the moment and he's just pining terribly.
What sort of things is your little one doing?
Just staying on the bed.
Yes,
and go to his recliner.
And how long were they, what was your dog's name?
Kate.
Kate. And so how long has Kate been there for?
Comes and goes, but he spends more time with us than he...
That's what parents are for, right? To take, look after the pets and the kids.
Really just very quiet and just staying in the bedroom or just sitting next to the recliner.
Yeah. Well, I'm really sorry for your loss. And at this time, I think there's that constant reminder similarly for... little Tate, that is, maybe the smell is still there. Maybe we've got, because they're very highly attuned to our presence, but mostly through their smell and hearing. Obviously, the hearing isn't going to be the issue here, but there's a lot of reminders of, your husband around just through smell, because their sense of smell is thousands of times better than ours. So, he would be picking up on these little things that are like a reminder. And so going to the recliner chair is like, oh, well, this is where I go. This is my place. And it's just bringing that memory back through those things like the scent. And I don't know that over time, most dogs I would find would tend to kind of moderate that behaviour. There are some dogs that we know, are going to kind of persist with that for a much longer. I mean, I can't remember the exact story. Isn't there there was a dog in Ireland, it might have been in Dublin, who sat on the master's grave for like 20 years or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's just a kind of a constant reminder. And this is in some ways an early, attitude that that your little dog is now saying, hey, he's around here somewhere, I can smell him. But gradually that'll probably start to decline. The other thing is, as you start to build a more involved relationship with Tate, he will start to bring his attention across to you a bit more because, well, you're there and he's saying, oh, you're the one who's going to feed me or walk me or, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it will change, but it can be – some dogs will kind of like, you know, you leave the room and then they're like, oh, I've never met you before.
Yeah.
And some dogs, obviously, like the dog in Ireland, that story – it can be for years. So in this scenario, when there's someone else like yourself there, then he's got someone else to lean on.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can lean on each other. There you go. So
Yeah.
Good luck. Hopefully it gets better soon.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Take care. And next on the line we have Karen. Hi Karen, are you there?
Yep, can you hear me?
Yes. Now, you've got a female cat that's being attacked by midges and mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah, the poor little thing. She's got lumps and bites all over her. I've got antihistamines for her, but it's the bites are constantly itchy, and they I get them as well, and it's in, like an imbatago sore on her.
Yeah.
Like, is there anything I can put on her to... like deter them or stop them all together. I know they've got all these things for dogs, but they never have anything for cats.
And the reason we don't have them for cats is twofold. One is that cats lick them off. And secondly, is that the products that are actually best at repelling insects can be toxic to cats.
Yeah.
So the pyrethrins and... chrysanthemum derivatives, which is pyrethrins and pyrethroids, can actually poison cats. And so obviously if it's on, say, a spray or a cream or something, then the cat's just going to lick them off.
Well, she does exactly that with the cream I got from the vet.
Yeah.
So it sort of doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Well,
some of it would get absorbed into the skin, but it's... Yeah, it's not going to stay on there. And that's actually not an uncommon thing. The only thing I would back up a little, so where on the body are these like impetigo sores appearing? Which part of the body are they on?
They're around, mainly the bigger ones are around her neck and under her chin and on the side of her face because that's where her hair is the thinnest because she's a Russian blue cross Burmese. So she's got the thick hair in the body. In the body area, but round her face and neck, it's thinner.
And how old is she?
She's my little girl's now six.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So the reason I ask is that when we see cats that have got flea allergy dermatitis, so in dogs, when we see dogs with flea allergy dermatitis, and I use the word allergy in particular here, okay, is that... An animal that has a flea allergy gets bitten by one flea and it might be on its back foot and it'll break out around its neck, okay? So you actually have to just consider that. But what happens with dogs is they have a particular pattern where they'll get their allergic dermatitis around the base of the tail and so on. But with cats, they get a different scenario. With cats, they actually get this – it's called a Millery dermatitis – sounds like military, but without the T, Millery dermatitis. Yep. And they just get these little sores all over their body. And so one of the things I would be wondering is just making sure that you've got adequate flea control, okay?
Yeah, she gets done every 3 months.
Excellent.
With the Bravecto.
Yeah.
But then I change it to the Advantage as well because I was told that they can get immune to the same thing and that can affect them differently. She's also got the medicated shampoo because she does. I do bath my cat.
That's the other thing I was going to ask you actually about bathing, so I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
The other thing I have seen...
A day, but that's okay.
Yeah, there is also when we see problems around the chin, cats can get a type of a condition. It's called feline acne. and so they can actually get bacterial and yeast infection in the skin around their face. And I've also seen cats that have plastic allergy. So an allergy to a plastic, or it could even be to anything that's in their bowl, what it's made of. Sometimes we'll see that. Nickel.
Okay.
And there's some ceramics that can do that as well. So that's the other thing I'd be just wondering is there an allergic component? Making sure, it sounds like flea control, you're good. So it's probably not that. But the other types of allergies could also be there, or an infection. And it could be an infection that maybe mosquitoes and midges have started, but it's persistent through an infectious process, in which case a medicated shampoo is still going to be the first line of treatment.
Okay,
Just to round that out, the other thing is with cats and dogs that have insect bite reactions, they tend to be on their ear tips and maybe on the bridge of the nose. So that those other areas that you mentioned make me think of allergic or bacterial skin infections.
Yeah, I took her up to the vet a while back and because she had the same problem, and they told me that it's a flea allergy. I know she's got a flea allergy, but I also know that at my mother's place there's millions of mosquitoes. So
yeah.
She hasn't got anything around her face, or every now and again she has one little bite inside her ear, but that's been nothing. I check her for ear mites and everything all the time, but she hasn't had anything. That's why I thought it was really strange that she's just got it around her
chin and neck. I would probably just speak to your vet about whether or not it may be a contact allergy. And that can, I'm not saying they're easy to treat, but mind you, they're always going to be difficult. But getting to the correct diagnosis is going to be the best option to help your little one through.
Okay, all the best with that, Karen. It's Pet Chat on 2 and your RFM 103.7. And we're looking at our website at the moment to see the cats of the week, because we've got cats. Two cats this week.
Wow, so it's not just a musical.
No, it's not just a musical.
It's on.
It's better than the musical.
It is. Alara and Bobby.
Bobby, yes. They're beautiful little black and white cats, or mostly.
And Amanda, they're siblings, hence they do tend to have a family resemblance to each other. So they're quite playful kittens. And they've been in foster care, and they're getting along with the other pets in the foster care house. Quite shy and reserved at first, but of course, like most cats, you know, sit down, they'll be on your lap before you know it.
Yeah, that's right. Both very similar in personality. It says they'd be best suited to a fairly quiet home. And they don't like to be carried around, pretty much like my cat too.
Right.
But they prefer to sit near you and get pats on their own terms. Typical cat.
Yeah, and we don't know whether they're good for with other animals like dogs, but presumably if they're adopted separately, then they're better to be with another cat in the house.
Yes, and they haven't met young kids. So would prefer a home with either older kids over 12 who won't try to pick them up and carry them around.
That's the instruction. Yeah. Don't try and carry your cat around.
Yeah, my husband tried to carry ours and, he paid for it.
Did you bring the bandages out? That's what happens. So, but they, you know, when you go onto the website, you can click through to the Hunter Animal Rescue. They both come with a two-week trial so that you can make sure they'll settle in and warm up to you in their new, hopefully, forever home.
Yeah. Well, good luck. Yeah, they've been in foster care for a while. So, they're waiting. They're waiting to be loved, and I'm sure there's somebody out there who will give them something.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, if not,
absolutely.
If not both, one each.
Yes, exactly.
That's it. All right. We've got Debbie on the line from Merriweather, and you've got a question, Debbie.
Yes, I know there are two schools of thought on dogs having bones, raw bones.
Yep.
I have a border collie, and every time I've tried to give him bones, I've tried different types of bones, he ends up with diarrhea, and then he just leaves it.
Yep.
And but I don't know how else to clean his teeth.
Okay. So first of all, when we give them bones, we don't clean their teeth. Doesn't clean their teeth.
Right.
Okay.
That's answered.
Yeah. I'll tell you a bit more about that in a sec. But the other thing is, with bones, if you are giving an animal bones, no cooked bones and no cut bones. So if right. you've got a leg of lamb and you want to give them the joint afterwards, no, because it's
no,
cooked.
No, never cooked bones, no.
And if you've got a chopped bone and you think,
meat.
Yeah, you know, you can't give them anything that's cooked or cut. So talking to a butcher and about pet bones, if they want to cut them in half, I always say, no, don't do that. Because, yes, they'll be able to get into the marrow and things like that, but also what a lot of dogs will do is they'll get that teeth in there and they'll try and crack off a bit of the bone, and the bone can often be stronger than their tooth, and then they'll end up with a fractured tooth and a tooth root abscess and an infection. They're very nasty and they need the tooth removed. So going back to the cleaning teeth, the thing about when we're cleaning teeth is, yes, we can clean the tooth that we see, which is called the crown. But what we really want to do is make sure that the problem starts with tooth problems is it starts in under the gum. Okay, it's what we call the subgingival sulcus, which is like a little pocket that runs along the gum. And so bones, etc., even chew sticks, things like that, don't really get into that area. So... Now, there are some ways that you can do that at home. There are some materials they can chew on that get a really fibrousy look to them, but they're still not going to completely clean it. But it's like us, you know, we brush our teeth and then you go to the dentist and they make sure it's all good. So in a lot of ways, it's the same with our pets.
Right.
And the diarrhea thing is not unusual. I've seen that sometimes it's associated with fat. Sometimes what happens is the chewing triggers the hormonal stimulus of eating, and then the dog's like, oh, and then the gut starts working. If they got marrow, maybe that's too fatty for them and they'll get an upset tummy. Yeah. So if it's not working, I'd just let it go.
Okay. I'll try a toothbrush, I guess.
and you know, a little bit of training, you'll get your dog well suited for that, particularly a border collie. They're so intelligent.
They are. Yeah. They are. Yeah, good luck with that, Debbie. All the best. Well, we are almost out of time. We've got about a minute and a half. Just quickly, congratulations to Karen from Elmervale. You've won our $50 pet food voucher. And with the minute and a half, do you want to quickly go through a few things that you wanted to talk about?
Yes, just quickly. So we had a comment earlier I was saying about a dog that sat on a grave in Dublin. It wasn't. Deb rang in, told us it was Greyfriars Bobby in Edinburgh, Scotland. Our listeners
don't get the Scots and the Irish mixed up. They don't like it.
Hundreds of years of wars there. our listeners are so onto it, aren't they?
They are.
Just very quickly, just to warn people, watch out for the heat. Keep your dog in shade, plenty of fresh water, and do not exercise them until the weather's cooled right down in the late evening.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm. And anything else? We've got 40 seconds. You can go for it.
Avian
flu.
I was going to talk about avian influenza, but we might leave that topic. It's a bit technical, a bit long, and it's a good story we can tell later.
Stingers.
Oh, yes. A lot of blue bottles at the beach, and I took my dogs to the beach, and they both stepped on blue bottles.
Ouch.
And then they realised that, oh, that hurt. And so they ran along with their foot up for about half an hour.
Oh, no.
So even our pets can, you know, be affected by these. Please watch out for them because the stingers are everywhere at the moment for us as well.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, that's Pet Chat for this week. Thank you very much, Dr. David Tabaret.
No worries. Thanks, Amanda.
It's been great. Good to see you next time.